This is Rick Gentry, and I want to thank everybody for listening today to Preaching Sunday on BPNRadio.com. I'm excited to introduce to you today Pastor Richard Adarosa, and he's from Florida. We're excited about his message today. Here's Pastor Richard.
Well, hello, radio friends. This is Richard Adarosa. I'm the senior pastor of Church of the Harvest in Pahokee, Florida, along the beautiful lake Okeechobee, and we want to share with you the Word of God. And I wanted to suggest that if you have found these messages to be a blessing, please write to me at Church of the Harvest at Post Office Box 181, Pahokee, Florida, 33476. And now, let's get into our message. Praise the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul speaks to young Timothy, the pastor of the church at Ephesus, and he says, "But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." Now, we know that from history that Timothy was dealing with some very difficult issues at that time. The church was under tremendous persecution. But I think that the wonderful part here is that every pastor, everyone involved in ministry should have the heart of an evangelist when it comes to the importance of reaching souls for Jesus, for the kingdom of God. And he tells us that we're to endure afflictions and that we're to do the work of the evangelist and fulfill our ministry. You know, ministry, there's never such a time as quit. God is not a quitter. God doesn't call people to quit. There are times, there are seasons, there are changes, of course, that the Spirit of God will lead us through, where it may seem as though it's not a very seamless move. But given the fact that God has a perfect plan and that we follow that plan, I'm very much excited to know that all things are working together for good for you and I who love God and are called according to His purpose. Today I want to begin our ministry by first starting with a short paragraph that I took from a particular Catholic priest who had written about the followers of Jesus. And he wrote this, and this is really going to be where we're going to start our message today. He says that in the 1940s, there was a reporter for Time magazine who was following the Home Rule movement in India, and particularly the role of Mahatma Gandhi. The reporter was very interested in the story, and so he convinced his editors to send him to India to cover Gandhi and the movement. He arrived in India and found Gandhi. He then began to move around with his entourage. Speech after speech and town after town, he was seen as part of the entourage. One day, one of his Indian friends observed and said, "You spend so much time with Gandhi, why do you follow him?" The reporter looked puzzled, thought a moment, and replied, "Please don't take this the wrong way. I think Gandhi is a good man. In fact, a great man for what he's doing. However, while I may be an admirer, I'm not a follower. In other words, I'm not following Gandhi, I'm following a story." The remarks of the reporter bring home a very important distinction, and that is the difference between an admirer and a follower. There are many people who are admired for either their goodness or some ability or skill that they possess, but yet it doesn't mean that we follow them. And the Holy Spirit had put upon my heart a message about admiring God or following God. Are you an admirer of Jesus or are you a follower of Jesus? And I ask that question, and I don't ask it in a sarcastic way, because many well-meaning Christians love God, are so overtaken and overwhelmed with Him, and we all should be. But are they following Him? And Jesus has called us to be followers. He's called us to be disciples. So you might say that many well-meaning people, even Christians, will admire the works of Jesus and the wisdom of His word, But my question to you today is, are you following him? Now, the first step to being a follower of Jesus and not just an admirer of him is to repent and receive your forgiveness of sins and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And of course, what I'm speaking about is the experience about being born again. It was very clear that Jesus said that we must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. As a person that is desiring a relationship with Jesus, the Holy Spirit leads us to this place where we are convicted of our sin. We acknowledge and realize that in ourselves we're lost and we're not able to function and live a life that we know is something that is important for us. In Romans 3:23, the scripture says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Isaiah 53:6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him," Jesus, "the iniquity of us all." And so we have to acknowledge our lost condition. The second thing is we have to believe the gospel. We know that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. In Acts chapter 16, verses 30 and verse 31, "And they brought him out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house.'" Jesus said in John 3:36, "That he that believes on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." I think it's so wonderful that God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit all got together before time and created the great plan of salvation, and Jesus being the one who would execute this plan with the help and the working of the Holy Spirit. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. It's important that we repent of our sins. Isaiah 55:7 says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." If you're listening to this radio broadcast today and you've never receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I invite you right now to just reach out to him and just repent and say, "God, I don't want to live like this anymore. I need Jesus in my life." And then Jesus will come in, for he will abundantly pardon you. And then finally, we see that we have to receive Jesus as our Savior. John 1:21, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Thank God he's given you all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. He's given you grace, for remember, by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, or any man could boast. But our boast is in the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And you know the scripture in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Boy, I'm sure glad I made that decision many, many years ago. I always believed in my heart there was a God, but I didn't know him personally. I didn't know that the way to the Father was through Jesus, because Jesus said in his word, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me." In Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." You know, a lot of times when we talk about wonderful relationships with people and our friends, we often enjoy going out to eat with them, dinner or breakfast or lunch or whatever it might be. There's just something so wonderful about celebrating and having friendship around a meal. And Jesus certainly desires fellowship. But one of the things that's important is if you're going to be a follower and not just an admirer of Jesus, is that you've got to be in a relationship. with him. And see, relationships develop. There's a difference between relationship and fellowship. You can have a relationship with a man who's your father and a woman who's your mother. But that doesn't mean you have fellowship with the father and with the mother. And it is the same way with Jesus. I'm born into the kingdom of God. I'm born into the family of God. I have a relationship with Jesus. But do I really have an abiding fellowship with him? Am I just an admirer of Jesus? Or am I a follower of Jesus? For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. When we come to Jesus, we come as we are. He loads us up daily with benefits. He gives us the grace that we need. And grace is far more than unmerited favor. Grace is his power working for you on your behalf to do something that you cannot do yourself. Thank God for his grace. And it's your faith that comes through hearing the word of God that reaches into the grace of God and receives from God all that he has for you. So if I'm going to be a follower of Jesus, the next thing I've got to do is I've got to become a disciple of Jesus. And I want to read some scriptures there. Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 to 39 are good verses to study in this subject. Beginning in verse 24 in the New King James Version, Jesus says, "A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops." You know, we think so much time, we got to do a lot of yelling and screaming, but isn't it interesting that out of your relationship with Jesus comes the unction to speak the word of God and to share with other people about the love of God? What that thing is that you hear in your ear, in your prayer time, and in your communion with Jesus and the Holy Spirit is the same thing that you preach and tell other people about. But you first heard it in the ear of your spirit. He says, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now we know it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life. We know that through the word of God. God is vehemently opposed if you're going to hell, but he will not violate the will that he has given you. You've been created in the image and likeness of God, and God has a will, and so you have a will. And so you need to set your will to please the Father. And the fear he's talking about here is not a fear or scared type of feel or the fear you would have of falling off the edge of a cliff. But it's a reverential fear. It's a holy awe. It's a reverence for God and realizing that the love of God that he's reached out and the grace that he's reached out to capture you and hold you is something that's kept you from the miry pits of hell. In verse 32, he says, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him also will I confess before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father in heaven." Jesus said, "Don't think I've come to bring peace on earth. I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. And I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household." And we look at that and we say, boy, Jesus is really cruel. I guess he doesn't like families. No, he's talking about the fact that you have to love him more than anything. You say, well, how do I do it? Because maybe right now you don't exactly feel that way. I mean, after all, if you're going to become a follower of Jesus, you're going to have to seek him. And the way you seek God is not by fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. The way you see God is through his word. And the Holy Spirit will take that word and that word will speak to you. And you'll develop sensitivity to your spirit man. And you begin to hear things in your spirit man that will eventually illuminate your mind and your heart. And that's how it operates. Jesus, the Father, they work from the inside out, you know. He said, he who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. It just means that he who loves his father and mother more than him is not worthy of him. Jesus is Lord. That word kurios from the Greek, it means supreme Lord, the Lord over all. Did you ever think that the word kurios and the word Lord, that the phrase, I don't want to, doesn't apply? I mean, if you really believe and trust Jesus as Lord and you see something in his word and the Holy Spirit is giving you an unction or leading to do something, how can you say no? We say no because of rebellion. We might say no because it's hard on the flesh. We may say no because we're still carnally minded. We preached on that a while back. And Jesus said, and he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Well, what was the cross for? The cross was for the flesh. You know, your flesh and your will and your emotion and your soul, many times, they'll easily get out of sorts. And you're going to have to deal with it. And you're going to have to die to yourself in order to live unto God. He says it very clearly in verse 39. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. You see, we think as human beings that if we can just work harder and do more, that we can bring ourselves to this place where we're going to just be so happy and satisfied. And, well, as soon as I get so much money in my savings account, as soon as I have a car that doesn't break down, it seems, every other week, as soon as I get to that place, I just know my life's going to be great. But the truth of the matter is, we're seeking the wrong thing. You remember Jesus said, but seek first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And the things that he was talking about are the needs of life that we have, food, clothing, shelter. But yet what happens so often with us is we decide that we're going to follow after our own desires. We're going to follow after our own ways. And so we get so consumed with following what we want that Jesus has just become someone that we admire, but not necessarily the one we follow. I know that can be hard sometimes. Well, preacher, you need to cut me a little bit of slack. Well, it's not a matter of cutting you slack. It's a matter of understanding that what you give your attention to is what you're going to have a desire for. Well, you say, I just can't spend time in the Word every day. I'm just too busy. Well, you've heard people say this before, and I don't mean to be trite, but you're never too busy to put God first. I mean, after all, if you want to find his life is the abundant life. I'm limited in what I can do. And over these past weeks and over past months, I've learned as I'm getting a little older and things are not feeling as good as they used to in my muscles, and I just don't have the muscle tone. And I'm not preaching and speaking negative of my body, but I'm saying that, you know, at 63 going on 64, you know, I can't do wind sprints in the basketball court anymore. I've let myself get to the point where I can't do it. And so I find that I have to trust in God more and more than I ever have on just things that when I was younger, I took for granted. I did it in my own strength, or at least maybe I thought I did. How much wonderful things could happen in our lives if we would just learn at a younger age to trust God and to obey him and to seek after him. That's why it's not going to be great Your life's not going to be the fullest that God wants it to be if you're just an admirer of Him. If you just go to church on Sunday, you listen to a sermon and it's wonderful, and you say hi to everybody, and yet on the inside you're frustrated, you're not where you need to be. You put on your church clothes and your church face, and you just make believe everything's all right. I mean, you certainly admire the preacher who preaches the message. But are you following Jesus? Are you being discipled by His Word and by His Spirit? I always tell people in our church or wherever I might be ministering that whenever I have a message, it's always because God's dealing with me on that subject. And I tell people all the time, don't think that I've got it all figured out, because I don't. I'm not anointed to put my pants on. I have to put them on one leg at a time like everybody else. I'm anointed to teach the Word and to preach the Word, to help people to understand and to develop in the things of God and to be equipped to do the work of the ministry they're called to. But I've got to deal with the same issues that everybody has to deal with. And it starts with my spending time with Him. And it starts with my recognizing Him and being aware of His presence in my life. Now, I know sometimes God's presence can be stronger than in others. And I haven't quite figured it all out yet. But I can tell you one thing, though, that if I'm believing God to sense His presence and His peace and His love, I can have more. I'm sure I can. And so I get born again, and then the next thing I do is I begin to be discipled. I'm part of a local church. I have some accountability to my other believers, and to the pastor is my shepherd, and the under shepherd, and I'm working out my salvation. And as I'm going along, I'm beginning to develop, and it doesn't happen overnight. It's not a miraculous change necessarily in certain character issues that we're facing. It means that we have to have our minds renewed and change the way we think. But once I decide that I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus, now it's time to do the works of Jesus. Now see, a lot of us, you know, we want to get born again. We see the pastor, we see the evangelist, we see the teacher up there in the pulpit. Wow, I want to do that. That is so cool. I'd love to be able to tell people because, you know, I've read the Bible once, and so now I know everything there is to know about it. I need to preach some of my revelation. I used to think that. I used to think, well, why doesn't the pastor call me to do a message some Sunday? But then I realized that I'm not waiting on my opportunity to minister the Word, because I've got people that I run across every day that I can minister the Word to. And if you're waiting for the pastor to call you on Sunday morning and say, wait a minute, so-and-so, you have the message, you come on up and give the message, that's probably not going to happen. But understand this, that the outflow of your relationship with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and your disciplining yourself to be a follower of Christ, is now put you into a place of doing the works of Jesus. Now, we can't skip to the end. We can't start the building of a car in an assembly line, put the wheels on it, put this body on the suspension, and then say we're ready to go without putting the engine in it, without adding any fuel to it. Now, God will honor our faith, and listen, God works to us where we are. But as we do become mature and begin to mature more, He expects more out of us. He wants us to grow after all. He wants us to bear fruit after all. And that's one of the ways we give Him glory in the earth. John chapter 14, verses 12 through 14 in the New King James. Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I listened to one of the short daily messages that comes through Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And he was talking about, you probably heard it this week, he was talking about asking the Lord, you know, Lord, why is it that, you know, there's just not so much more power working in my life? And basically, in so many words, God was telling him, you need to know how to handle it. And it's very true. And so even though our examples of disciples in the Bible weren't perfect, and we're never going to be perfect, so to speak, as long as we live in this flesh and bone body, and we've got a mind that can wander. Understand that out of this relationship and closeness with Jesus comes this understanding and knowing his ways, not just who he is. There's times, for example, where I'll hear things in a service, or I'll be somewhere where I'm keenly now aware of the Holy Spirit and how he's reacting to some of these things. And it's almost as though intuitively you know what he wants to do, or you intuitively know what he wants to say. But that doesn't come from spending 5 minutes in the Word every other week. It comes through regular fellowship and talking to the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes we make it a lot more complicated than it has to be. I think it's perfectly fine that when you're dealing with something in your life that you just talk to Jesus about it. Now, I know that Jesus responds to faith. So going to Jesus on the basis of crying and trying to wriggle something out of him, that's not going to work. You know, when my kids were younger, they used to try that. I had a daughter who told her siblings that, look, I can get dad to do it. Don't worry, let me try. Because that carnal nature is to try to manipulate and get to a point where they get really good at it. But the truth of the matter is that it doesn't have to be that way. You don't have to manipulate anything to get from the Father, because the Bible says he's already done it. Isn't it wonderful that he's already done it? He doesn't have to create your miracle for you, because the miracle already belongs to you. He doesn't have to do something and burn incense in heaven or whatever, or send Jesus back to shed his blood again to cover some special sin that you might have come up with. He's already done it. He's already paid for it. And if he's already done it, and if he's already paid for it, as soon as I get real and confess it as sin, immediately it comes under the blood of Jesus. But people say, well, why don't I feel better then? Because the enemy likes to bring condemnation. Well, it couldn't be just that easy. Because we like to do works. Faith is not about works. Faith has to do with believing the Word of God. It's the way the kingdom of God operates. It's not the way this world works. Well, I think we're going to stop there for today. But I just want to remind you that God desires you to do more than just be awed by what he does, but to be a follower of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I just know in my heart that God wants me to be like him. He wants me to be like Jesus. And everything I read about Jesus, he always had the wisdom to be able to help people in their situations.
It's Rick Gentry. You've been listening to Pastor Richard Idarosa today on Preaching Sunday. For more information, please contact one of our team members at breakoutprayernetwork.com or visit us at bpnradio.com. We sure appreciate all your support. Thank you very much.